Hi folks, welcome to another weekend podcast of the Loadseaters. I'm joined by Hugo, and we are going to be talking about Matt Hancock and how he loves the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And I'm going to accuse Matt Hancock of loving the Great Reset as well, even though I don't have necessarily direct proof of that. But I think I can connect the two, and I expect Hugo to go hard at me for doing so. But I think my position is defensible.
I don't know yet.
But before we start, if you'd like to go to loadseaters.com, you can support us there by becoming a subscriber and get access to loads of exclusive premium content. Anyway, so in 2017, Matt Hancock gave an address to the all-party parliamentary group on the Fourth Industrial Revolution's autumn reception. Now, the Fourth Industrial Revolution is a term coined by Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum and the primary proponent of the Great Reset. And this is a book he released in 2017, I believe it was. And this is being done in reception of that book. Mm-hmm. And so it seems that I think we can directly tie the Fourth Industrial Revolution to being a kind of key step in the process of the Great Revolution. Now, I haven't read his book, but mm-hmm. you have. So am I correct in assuming that?
I haven't actually read his book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, but I have read The Great Reset.
You read the... Yeah.
And so in The Great Reset, he talks about the Fourth Industrial Revolution as well. It's actually a part of The Great Reset. If you go to the intelligence source of the World Economic Forum, strategic intelligence, that's what it's called. You've got this kind of network of topics that are linked with each other. Mm-hmm. And so if you go to the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution is part of that, or a big portion of what it actually is. Mm-hmm. Other things are, I don't quite remember what the other things are, but this is an important
kind of
it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a very long-winded way of saying that I was right. Thank you. but the point is, Klaus Schwab is pretty single-minded on his goal of an administrative world system. And, well, you know, I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong, although personally I do think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that Klaus Schwab is a bad person for wanting this, but I am saying that this is a very particular kind of system that doesn't leave much in the way for things that I do value, such as personal autonomy and property ownership, individual freedoms, things like this. Especially as they began their pitch with, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Okay, communist. But anyway.
like the 10 takeaways from 2030 or something. Yeah. One, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Yeah. Okay. Good job. Yeah,
exactly. And then him saying, well, the COVID-19 is a great opportunity for a great reset. And then we see the massive transfer of wealth away from small businesses and into the hands of mega corporations. It seems that something is in progress, right? It doesn't yep. seem unreasonable to say that everything they want to happen is happening.
Yep. So it's also worth mentioning that this is what they say that they would like to happen, but it's not what is going to happen, because these people and the way they see the world is misguided in the least. That's what I would say about it. And if you...
More charity from you there.
if you don't perceive reality correctly, you're going to be bad at predicting what's going to happen. So if they yes. want to make change in the world in some ways by reacting to what they think is happening in the world and how the world works, it's not necessarily a given that it's going to play out that way, because if the world works in different ways,
yeah, they
will
not,
fail in
that.
They're
not omnipotent. They're not gods.
Exactly.
And in fact, this is actually one of my primary arguments against this kind of centralization of power.
Yep.
The more power that you have, yep. the more your mistakes have wider echoes throughout society. Yeah. This is the perfect argument for the decentralization of power and ultimately for individual sovereignty. But anyway,
you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of that reality.
A lot of people are not fans of Ayn Rand, but you can't refute that. And that was her, wasn't it?
I'm not a big fan of Ayn Rand either, but she's got very good points at times, and this
and
is one of it.
The smallest minority is the individual.
Exactly.
It's another one of those pithy phrases of hers that is like, well, I mean, that's true. You know, you can't refute that.
People say that in mocking her, but that's...
No, but that's true.
It's
actually very insightful as well, because they're always talking about minorities. It's like, okay, well, I'm a minority of me. But anyway... So Matt Hancock gives this address, and I'm going to read a few bits from it. I'm not going to read all of it, because it was quite long and boring, obviously. as if we expected charisma from Matt Hancock. He says, I applaud the creation of the APPG on the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which surely is one of the greatest challenges we face as a nation and as a world. The nature of the technologies is materially different to what has come before. In the past, we've thought of consumption as one-off and capital investment as additive, yet put resources into the networks that now connect half the world or into AI, and the effects are exponential. The reason that the cost of storing and transmitting information has fallen perhaps faster than any time since the invention of the printing press. That time it transformed the world, democratized knowledge, and brought down the whole feudal system of government. This time it's just got started. I mean, he's right. That's a correct assessment. But I can't help but feel that he's talking against his own project here. But anyway... The nature of the new technologies is that the changes we're experiencing today are probably the slowest changes we'll see over the rest of our lifetimes. So very much in line with John Kerry's view, this is going to happen very, very quickly. And
I think he's talking about the general progression of technology, and that's very fair, and I agree with him in that.
Well, I think he's right as well, but he's not just, I think, talking about the technology, because he's talking about the world consequences of the technology. I mean, that was what the previous sentence was.
Yeah, but you can't connect it to Biden's administration when he was talking about it in 2017. Like,
well, no, I think you can, because it is part of the same movement that's happening. And I think that John Kerry saying, no, we're all going to move very quickly, I think they've been rushing this forward. And yeah, that's why they're saying, oh, COVID's a great opportunity for us to enact our plan. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to have this opportunity again. So I think that this does build on the idea that, look, they're going to kind of rush this revolution through.
But I think this is a bit different, because I think what he means is that there's going to be changes in the technological world and in the world we experience around us.
Yeah.
And these changes are going to happen by themselves, naturally, the way that society and the economy works. And I don't think he means by this that they will going, or anyone will going to enact that change, right?
No, I agree.
I think that what they aim to do is to kind of steer that change towards where they would like to it to be.
But I'm not saying that they're going to be responsible for the change.
Yep.
But they all have the same view that there is going to be change, yep, and they want to direct it, as you say, and they definitely see COVID as an opportunity for this. And Matt Hancock has been one of the primary voices about COVID and lockdowns in the UK, obviously being so deeply involved in the UK government. And so this is why I'm so concerned about all this, because if he's on board with the Fourth Industrial Revolution, if he happens to be endorsing the ideas of Klaus Schwab, which it sounds, I mean, him at least in one aspect that he is, and if this is a component of a wider plan, then, I mean, maybe Matt Hancock is just a useful idiot and doesn't know anything about it. But, like, I don't think I'm going to give him that much charity, frankly. I think, you know, I think they understand that things are going to happen. I mean, as he says here, if you don't much like change, I'm afraid I don't have so much good news. Our task in building and around the world is to make this technology, this change, work for humanity. And I'm proudly confident we can, because this technology is made by man, so it can be hewn to build a better future for mankind. Depends on what we agree on is better, doesn't it, Matt? And I don't agree that, you know, owning nothing is better than owning something. I'm sorry, I'm a throwback. I don't like change much, you know.
That's not what he's saying.
Well, you don't know. Again, he's endorsing a component of this overarching plan.
He's saying change is going to happen.
Yeah.
And we want this change to be for good.
Yeah.
And he's not saying what the good is.
Exactly.
But
I think we can infer that since he's left it undefined, the good is surely going to be in line with the rest of the Great Reset. He's not going to suddenly be like, well, yeah, the good actually is not in a global government. He's not going to come out and say that. You know, and I appreciate, you know,
I definitely agree with you that he's not going to come out and say it.
Exactly, right? But I appreciate that I'm making an inference here, but I don't think it's an unreasonable one, given the context in which we're talking, given the fact he's endorsing a component of the Great Reset and that he has a view of what is best for mankind. I don't think we share the same view of what is best for mankind. I think he's going to be a lot closer to Schwab than to me.
I think a charitable interpretation of what he's saying is that he speaks for a lot of other people who would explicitly say that their goals are in line with the Great Reset.
To take away all of your property, which is such a bold statement.
Yeah. So I think even if it doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees with the Great Reset, he's talking in a way and saying the same things that a lot of people who do agree with the Great Reset are promoting it would say as well.
Yeah, and he's endorsing and promoting a component of it.
Yeah.
So you know, I know he's not expressly mm-hmm. saying this, but I think mm-hmm. the implication is definitely packaged within that. Exactly. And at the end of the day, if this was something in my personal life that, you know, was something that I was suspicious of, I certainly would just choose the opposite. I would choose against it, just on the grounds of there is enough for me to be suspicious about here. But anyway, I am delighted to speak alongside so many impressive colleagues who really understand this, and alongside Professor Klaus Schwab, who literally wrote the book on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Your work, bringing together as you do all the best minds on the planet, has informed what we are doing, and I'm delighted to work with you.
I hate how they call him Professor Klaus Schwab. He's an honorary professor.
So he's not a professor.
He's not a real professor.
No. Right. Well, he really likes his work.
Yeah. Looks like it.
Yeah, he seems to really endorse it. I mean, if someone said that about me, I'd be like, "Well, crikey, you know, calm down. I'm okay, but I'm not that good." But he
you
really
did win
likes
the UO award.
Sorry,
you did win the UO award.
I did, and I do make my employees march along with busts of me and banners of me. So you know, I mean, but anyway, enough about me. Back to Klaus Schwab. but seriously, I mean, like that's a ringing endorsement of Schwab and his agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what more does he need to say? I love the Great Reset. You know, he come out with a little t-shirt with it or something. Traveling around the world, I see much excitement at 5G, and I'm confident the UK will be in front of the queue. I'm determined we'll do our bit. It's all about preparing Britain to take advantage of these extraordinary new technologies. Not so interesting, those bits, which is fine. You know, because that is actually the technological mm-hmm. development he's talking about. That's fine. Earlier this year, the Fourth Industrial Revolution was not a very well-known term, at least before it became a central topic at the World Economic Forum. It recently made its way into an item on the BBC Breakfast television. This shows we've probably started to reach critical mass. Who's we there? If nobody knows about the Great Reset, who's we? Like, who is he talking about? We've started to reach critical mass. Okay, but, like, not the public.
Yeah, the public thinks it's a conspiracy because Trudeau told them.
Yeah, like, yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, who's the we? You know, who is the we? We've probably started to reach critical mass, but it's not a very well-known term. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm
but yeah, he's not talking about the public. He's talking about the people who are informed about political stuff.
Exactly. That's exactly it. He's talking about the kind of international political class.
Most people are not political, and good for them.
And are certainly not part of the international political class. Yeah. And no, not good for them, because that's why all this can carry on. The reason they can get along with all this is because people don't know it's happening. But anyway, he says, it's now a pleasure to introduce a man who made the Fourth Industrial Revolution a household phrase, Professor Klaus Schwab. And then he goes on and gives his speech about it.
Yep.
But so, yeah, I think that this is enough for us to squarely put Matt Hancock in the camp of pro-Great Reset.
I agree.
Which makes the Conservatives incredibly suspect, because honestly, I don't really think that Boris is actually very firm against... on the national sovereignty of Britain, even though he's done an okay job so far with Brexit.
Have the Conservatives ever been not suspect?
No. And I think that it's really worth hammering that home. You know, they're very good at preserving themselves. They're a 200-year-old party, nearly. So they're excellent at navigating the current waters and making sure that they're always on the, you know, conveniently just over the line on the right side of the issue before it goes on to the next one. But yeah, I don't really trust.
As AA says, they're great in the experts at containment.
That's exactly right. But they still carry on with all of these other sort of agendas, and I think this is Matt Hancock just basically showing us his hand. I don't trust him at all.
I don't trust him either.
Shame the alternative is Labour, really, isn't it?
I don't trust him, especially if you look at the video of him sitting down in Parliament.
Yeah.
With Lincoln.
or the video of him talking to the reporter where he seems to really like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like a very strange chap, and he seems to have ideas that I consider extremely detrimental to my own interests, and I don't know why the Conservatives have chosen him. Why would you put this guy on TV?
It's fine if you put him in a position of power if you think he's capable, but you shouldn't put him on TV.
Yeah, he's very bad PR. But we'll put the clips in, and we'll see you later.